It's your favorite day of the weekend, mine, Twitter Tuesday, where we answer your questions here on Locked On Vols. Plus, what did Josh Heupel, Javonte Payton, and Jacob Warren have to say in Monday's media availability on Kentucky? And it is getting weird in Gainesville. That is the show rundown here on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every single day. Got a fun show ahead, and welcome into Locked On Vols. Thanks for making it your first listen each and every day. I am your host, Eric Kane. You can find me on Twitter at _Kaner. You can find this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Vols, where I post this podcast a couple times a day, each and every day, for your listening a pleasure. You can find this podcast Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcast. It's completely free. It is Locked On Vols. Twitter Tuesday coming up. We'll have audio in segment two, and we'll talk Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators in segment three. I think you guys will love to bask in what is just a weird, weird time down in Gainesville right now. So we will do that in segment number three. But first, Twitter Tuesday, let's dive right into it. Luke is up first, and Luke says, I never like to make guarantees, Eric, but I don't think their offense can keep up with ours. Question is, can we get it, the offense, rolling early and often? That was a reply to a Twitter Tuesday post I put out there. Also, to a quote or to a graphic tweet at Locked On Vols earlier today, they got a lot of good participation. So I appreciate you guys for chiming in there about your confidence level against Kentucky. And yeah, Luke, I would agree, man. I certainly don't think it's a guarantee, but I really like this matchup for Tennessee, and we'll continue to break it down as the week goes on. But I just feel like, man, this offense can definitely score. I don't think Kentucky can keep up. I think if Tennessee can string together first downs and extend drives and get something going, I think it's going to be a long day for Kentucky, which likes to, again, like I said yesterday, ugly things up, shrink the game, run the football. If Tennessee shuts the run game down, I think Tennessee's got it in the bag. So I'm speaking very confident. I never speak in absolutes. I'm speaking very confidently here early in the week, but I really feel strong about this matchup for Tennessee. I really do. So Luke, I appreciate you chiming in. We will head next to Cody. Cody says, do you agree with Snicker throwing the bullpen game in game five opposed to going with Freed in short rest? I did say you can ask Braves questions. I will always answer Braves questions. Don't worry, I'll make it short and sweet for those of you that don't care. For game five, no, I wasn't. I get it. You have a 3-1 lead. As much as I wanted to win it last night or Sunday night in Atlanta, you understand that you've got to be a little strategic in the means of you've got game six, you've got game seven. If you would have started Freed, he would have been on short rest. And, you know, why bring him back on short rest when you can have him go for game six and have Ian Anderson go a full blast game seven if need be, right? So I had a much bigger issue, and if you guys follow me on Twitter, which I know a lot of you do, with how Brian Snicker pulled Ian Anderson after 76 pitches on Friday. He had a no-hitter going. I don't care about the no-hitter. He really didn't have great stuff that night, but when you had two bullpen games upcoming Saturday and Sunday, the fact that you pull a starter after not giving up any runs after 76 pitches of five scoreless, ridiculous to me. But nonetheless, Atlanta got the win on Friday. Maybe that came back to haunt Atlanta on Sunday whenever Mentor kind of gave up some of those runs. You know, who am I to know? But nonetheless, I didn't have an issue with not starting Freed in game five. I do look forward to Freed getting back on track in game six later tonight. So I appreciate you guys for chiming in there. We will head over to the DMs where we will check in with Kyle Hensley. And Kyle says, hey Eric, question for Twitter Tuesday, is the bye week enough to fully recharge the defense? A lot of guys have been playing a whole lot of snaps. From your experience, can they be 100% moving forward, or will fatigue be an issue late in games? You know, no player is 100% healthy at this point in the season. It's just kind of a nature of the beast. I mean, you're gonna have bumps and bruises, you know, some nagging stuff. A guy might be dealing with a sore ankle from, you know, here until the end of the season. I mean, I mentioned Jabari Small. I think he's going to be dealing with that shoulder throughout the rest of the season. I think Cooper Mays and Tyon Evans and Cade Mays, they'll be dealing with ankles. But just in terms of getting a rest, I mean, those, you bring up a good point. Tennessee's defense is on the field for 193 snaps the last two games combined. He had, you know, 101 against Ole Miss and 92 against Alabama. So that is a lot of snaps in consecutive weeks. So certainly the off week, allowing those guys to rest and just, you know, just rest their bodies more so than anything is going to help. So, yeah, I do think it's enough time. These guys are in shape. It's football. They've gone through a football season before. So fatigue, I don't believe, will be an issue. But as far as bumps and bruises, you know, no one's ever going to be 100% until the season's over. We'll continue to move on. We will go to Knox_Vol865. How well will we be for the game on Saturday, injury-wise, after the bye week? Well, I will play some audio here momentarily from Josh Heupel in his Monday press conference. And, you know, he spoke on that just a little bit. And he says, you know, nothing concrete, typical Josh Heupel answer, that he feels like they'll have the opportunity to be back and to be playing. He didn't go into specifics. He didn't say Cade Mays or Theo Jackson or Elijah Simmons or Tyon Evans or Cooper Mays or anybody like that. He just said, and we'll hear in a moment, that he believes that they'll have the opportunity to get back. They're leaning towards getting back. So, I mean, that is a good sign. But he has said that before, and players have not played. He has said nothing, and players have played. That's just kind of your typical Josh Heupel. I have not had, I've not begun having conversations with people at practice yet, depending on, like, you know, who's been out there practicing and stuff and the availability. I hope to do that as the week goes on. But I think Tennessee overall, the bye week's going to help them for sure. And you hope that some of those guys can get back and obviously can contribute. We'll move on to I'm_Trev. And Trev says, has there been any talk of any bowl ban or NCAA self-imposition for Tennessee if they reach 6 wins? And it also seems that anyone involved with any wrongdoing inside the program is no longer working or playing at Tennessee. Will that affect any decision from the NCAA? Thank you. Well, I wish I had the answer to that, man. I really, really do. I don't get the feeling, and I believe a couple of weeks ago, Josh Heupel was asked, if you get 6 wins, are you going bowling? And he said, absolutely. I don't think, I kind of get the feeling Tennessee's not going to self-impose anything at this point. I mean, point blank, look at the NCAA. It's a complete joke, right? I mean, it is drowning in its own wrongdoing. So I don't think Tennessee, it would help Tennessee out at all to self-impose anything in terms of a bowl ban. Now, I'm not speaking absolutes. Anything can change. That's just kind of my feeling. As far as the NCAA investigation, I don't know anything. I mean, they're still investigating internally. You thought that this would be wrapped up and you thought you'd have some final words by the start of football season. That was according to Dante Plowman back on Vol Calls in the spring, but obviously that's not the case. So I don't think we're anywhere close to finding out the end result of this NCAA violation than we were, you know, 4 months ago. So I know Tennessee continues to spend money on law firms, and that is just racking up for sure. So we'll have to see. But I personally wouldn't expect Tennessee to be self-imposing anything. Of course, that's me here on a Monday. Things can always change. And we will move on to over to the Locked On Vols account as I try to transition over to my phone and pull up those DMs. Apologies. And Connie will chime in. And Connie brings up a really good point. As she says, at halftime and during his postgame presser this Saturday, Coach Mike Leach called out Kentucky for simulating Mississippi State's snap count during the game. This may be a tactic that Kentucky will try to pull on the Vols this Saturday night. In your opinion, can Coach Heupel do anything to counteract this? So simulating the snap count is illegal. Essentially what it is, you know, defenders can yell anything. They can, you know, yell strength and strong side or motion or, you know, play here, you know, they can yell pretty much anything, but it's against the rules to try to simulate the snap count, meaning, you know, hut, set, go, ready, whatever, you know, whenever they pick up on what the cadence is, it's against the rules to simulate a snap count. If you do, that's a penalty. Mike Leach said, at halftime, or no, he said this post game. He said, "Hey, if they're not calling it against you, then you might as well be coaching it up, right?" So, I feel like that was not the first time Kentucky's defenders did that, and I would fully expect that to be an issue against Tennessee, or at least they try to do that against Tennessee. If you're Tennessee to try to counteract that, you go on a movement of the center. You go on silent, you go on clap, you just mix up the cadence all throughout the game, because if you're trying to simulate the snap count, you're not going to simulate it perfectly every time if you're moving up the cadence. Go on one, go on two, go on ready, you know, whatever the case may be. That would be how you would counteract that in my opinion. So that's how I would do that. And then finally, our last one here in segment number one, why does Crouch look so good at Michigan State? was coaching that bad last year. Of course, you're talking about Kavarius Crouch. I got to be honest with you, I didn't watch much of the Michigan-Michigan State game. In fact, I was busy, but I was flipping through the channels there towards the end. I saw Michigan had a double-digit lead there in the fourth quarter. I moved past it. Later on in the night, I was talking to one of my buddies. He said, yeah, well, Michigan finally got past the hurdle, took down Michigan State, and they said, whoa, Michigan State came back and won that game. And I was like, what? So I went back and checked the highlights, and sure enough, Michigan blew it again. For Kavarius Crouch, easy answer without watching a lot of his play this year. I would say that everything is kind of condensed in the Big Ten. That doesn't mean you don't spread things out and you don't go fast or anything like that, but a lot of the teams play big boy football. A lot of 12 personnel, a lot of 22 personnel, multiple tight ends. They play fullbacks. I mean, some Illinois plays the three tight ends a lot of the time. Just stuff you don't see in the SEC much anymore. And so whenever you're playing big boy on big boy football, it kind of condenses things at the line of scrimmage and allows you to run and go make plays. And that's what Kavarius Crouch is doing. I do not think Kavarius Crouch was coached well last year at linebacker. I think he got better as the year went on. I just think that he was horrible in space. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he was getting better coaching, and the style of play in the Big Ten is helping him out a tremendous amount. Guys, thanks so much for your Twitter Tuesday questions. I just ran through those rapid fire. Thanks so much. Don't forget, every Tuesday we'll do it again here on Locked On Vols for Twitter Tuesday at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. We will hear from Tennessee's coach and Tennessee players in segment number two on Kentucky. But first, it is Prize Picks, your leader in college sports daily fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. And everybody, on your first deposit, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players, the over and under on the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well, so you can take the over and the point total in an NBA game, or the interceptions thrown for Tua Tagovailoa in Miami with Monday Night Football. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy, guys, and Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, or go to the App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks, it's daily fantasy made easy. Segment two of a Tuesday show. It's happening now right here on Locked On Vols. Welcome back into it, guys. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Can't thank you guys enough for making Locked On Vols your first listen. The numbers have been fantastic this football season. We're past the off week. We're getting back into the final stretch of the regular season, and I know the listening numbers are going to take an uptick, and I can't thank you guys enough for that. Let's go ahead and hear from Josh Heupel and some of the Tennessee football players from the Monday media availability. But before we get to that, I do want to remind you, in case you haven't heard yet, Tennessee, Georgia, next Saturday, I think that's, the 13th? It's going to be a CBS 3:30 kick. First time Tennessee has been on CBS all season long. The first time Tennessee will play at 3:30. Again, it's Georgia at Tennessee, the 3:30 CBS kick. That will be not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Josh Heupel, he was asked about the injured players and kind of what the statuses are for those guys moving forward this week, their availability against Kentucky. We touched on it a little bit in segment number one, but here is the actual quote, the audio from Josh Heupel. Here it is.
I don't want to say anything concrete at this moment. I do think all those guys are leaning towards having the opportunity to play. We gave most of those guys the time off last week. Seeing those guys back in the building today, moving around a little bit. We'll find out more when we get on the field here Tuesday, Wednesday, but I think both guys will have an opportunity to play.
Josh Heupel was asked by me about Wandale Robinson. Again, I spoke on Wandale Robinson and really the entire Kentucky player personnel pool there yesterday when we were getting to know the Wildcats. And the transfer from Nebraska, the junior wide receiver, 58 receptions on the year, 645 yards, 5 touchdowns. He is, without a doubt, the leading guy, the go-to guy. The next closest wide receiver has only 19 receptions, and that is Josh Ali. But nonetheless, I ask, what makes him so effective? Why is he targeted so much in the passing game from Will Levis? And this is what Josh Heupel had to say on Kentucky wide receiver Wandale Robinson.
They're going to target him or try to target him just because of his skill set. You know, extremely fast and reliable as far as catching the football, creates a bunch of explosive plays. He's able to do that with some short and intermediate passes, screen game, and then some isolations out on the outside. He's somebody that we got to know where he's at the entire game.
And then finally, one last thing on Josh Heupel. Ask about Harrison Bailey. Of course, Harrison Bailey transferred, or he entered the transfer portal last week during the bye week, looking for a new opportunity, wanting to use this last month of the regular season to maybe take visits, allow teams and programs to evaluate him just a little bit more. And he'll say it here in a minute. It's just, it's a different age in college football. That is for sure. And so Josh Heupel was asked about that. A lot of good things to say about Harrison Bailey from Josh Heupel, but you know, one kind of sour taste in the mouth, if you will. Give it a listen. This is what Josh Heupel had to say about Harrison Bailey transferring.
Harrison's been a really good teammate inside of our program from the time that I've gotten in here. In some ways disappointed that the timing of when he makes that decision. You know, it's a different era in college athletics with the transfer portal, you know, over the last couple of years. And you know, because of who he is and what he has been about, I love both the person and the player. I wish him a ton of success as he moves on. All of our walk-on quarterbacks will be competing for that, did last week, and we'll do that this week too.
Again, Josh Heupel says he loves the person, he loves the teammate, he roots for him, he's hoping he is successful anywhere he goes, he'll do anything for him. He's saying all the things a coach should say, and that's good to hear. You know, when Hendon Hooker went down against Ole Miss, Harrison Bailey was out there on the field, you know, going to his teammate, going to his brother's aid, right? It's not like he wasn't a good teammate, it's not like he didn't care, and he just kind of crapped all over the program. I don't think that was the case, right? And so it was good to hear Josh Heupel say those things, but he did say, if there's one disappointing thing about it, it would be the timing. I was talking with my buddy Ben McKee, and we brought that conversation here on Locked On Vols on Friday, and it's you're quitting on your team, right? I mean, essentially that's what you're doing, and I understand you got to look out for you and do what's best for you. I get all that, but I would agree with Ben. I mean, you're quitting on your team, right? So you're not seeing it through, and so, I mean, Jared Garantano, he saw it through last year. And 10 minutes after Tennessee wrapped things up with Texas A&M, it was announced that Jared Garantano had entered the transfer portal. So that was Josh Heupel on Harrison Bailey. I thought those comments were pretty good. What about teammates? We'll start with Javonte Payton, and wide receiver Javonte Payton obviously spends a lot of time with Harrison Bailey and running routes and playing catch and all that, and actually says that their lockers are really close to one another. He'll get into that here in a moment. But here's what Javonte Payton had to say on Harrison Bailey transferring.
You know, Harrison is actually, me and Harrison are actually really close, as his locker is literally right across from mine. And, you know, me and him didn't talk about it ahead of time. You know, it was something that he most definitely, you know, had talked with his family and made a decision with his family. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's our brother. You know, we support him wherever he goes, whatever decision he makes. You know, we run behind him 10 toes down. So, you know, like I said, Harrison, my brother. So whatever decision he makes, you know, we're happy for him, and we're going to support him. So.
And then a lot of the same remarks, similar remarks were said by Jacob Warren, tight end in this offense, about Harrison Bailey transferring, about how he's going to support him and nothing's really changing. We'll give it a listen. Here's Jacob Warren on Harrison Bailey.
Yeah, I mean, my answer is always going to be the same. I care about them and they care about me, but I have to understand that if I was in that situation, like, how would I want my teammates that I've been, you know, battling with and going through all stuff with, how do I want them to react, right? And so the way I think about it is, like, I want what's best for him because he's my friend. So if that's what's best for him, I just have to kind of accept that. And that's really just all of it. Obviously, I wish him the best of luck, and I'm sure we'll be in touch about where he's going and what he's doing. So I'm just excited to see what he's able to do with his future and get an opportunity to play.
Again, kind of that's what you expect, you know, players to say, coaches to say in this day and age. I mean, it's, you know, back in the olden days, or really not even the olden days. I mean, just, you know, 5-10 years ago, if you quit on your team, there might be some bad blood. If you are a star player for one team and transfer to Alabama, there's probably a lot of love lost there, right? But that was not the case with Henry Tuitua last week. Not the case with Harrison Bailey this week. I mean, it's good to see. You always want to root for the success of a young man. I mean, I'm never here to not do that. But it is a different age in college football. That is without a doubt. That is for sure. And you're kind of seeing those in the remarks echoed by Josh Heupel, Javonte Payton, who I thought was really interesting, saying that they talked about it, you know, for he didn't say weeks, but they talked about it beforehand. And you know that he had to have those conversations with some teammates and family, right? And then, of course, Jacob Warren. We'll move on. We'll stay with Javonte Payton. I asked him about the Kentucky secondary. I didn't say this in the press conference, but that Kentucky secondary is just not created a whole lot of turnovers. I wanted to see what made them tick, what they did well, what Tennessee's wide receiving ranks will have to do in order to expose them. Here's what Javonta Payton had to say about the Kentucky secondary.
You know, as a unit, we just got to go out there and do what we do. You know, it's not much that we try to change up going into the next week. Coach Hype likes to really do, you know, run his offense, and we execute what he likes to do. So, you know, as a unit on our side, we just got to go out there and execute our small details and do what we got to do on our offensive side. And from them, you know, them guys are very physical on the outside. You know, DBs like to they play more off the DBs do, but you know, we just got to take advantage of what they give us and, you know, run with that. So
found it interesting that he said that those DBs like to play off a lot, and you know, with the speed of Javonta Payton, with the speed of Velus Jones, with the speed of Jalen Hyatt when he's in there. I mean, you play off. I mean, you're setting yourself up to get beat, right? I mean, you really are. I understand you want to scoot back a little bit to try to keep up with some of those burners, but I mean, certainly those drags, those five-yard ins and outs, you know, plant and go with the post or the flag. I mean, you play on a cushion, you're setting yourself up for defeat, if you ask me. So I found that interesting. Javonta Payton talking about Kentucky's defensive backs. And finally, from the media availability on Monday, we'll go to Jacob Warren. A lot was asked about Hendon Hooker, what they've seen in him this year. Of course, he was not the starter to begin the season. And Jacob Warren was asked, have you noticed anything more about Hendon Hooker now that he's playing regularly? Because he wasn't at the beginning of the season. What have you seen in Hendon Hooker? Toughness sticks out from Hendon Hooker to Jacob Warren. Here is the junior tight end on just that.
He's tough, man. He's a really tough guy, and I know Coach has talked about his resilience and the way he's fought through, you know, a lot of the little nicks and things that he's got going on. But just watching him bounce up after taking hits and spin moving and getting hit in the back and all this stuff, like, it's crazy just watching him pop up and be like, yo, let's go, come on, we got to push tempo, because he's just so focused on the mission and what we got to get accomplished. So I think just his toughness has shown me a lot.
Again, that was Jacob Warren, Tennessee tight end on Hendon Hooker. So that was comments from Josh Heupel, Javonta Payton, and Jacob Warren, a little bit on Kentucky, and a lot about their former teammate, former player, Harrison Bailey, who has entered the transfer portal. All right, so to conclude things up here on a Tuesday Locked On Vols, it is getting weird in Gainesville. I'm sure you guys were laughing when you're scrolling past it on the Twitter timelines. What happened on the Gator beat Monday? We'll recap it all here on a segment number 3 of Locked On Vols. But first, back and better than ever, a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for football, but also basketball this college basketball and pro basketball season. Head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's on your first deposit. All you have to do is use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball to football to baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Guys, there is not a better time to be on your betonline.ag than a college football weekend, an NFL football Sunday. No better time, guys. What about that Monday nights? What about those Thursday nights? Guys, make some money, put your sports knowledge to use, and put some coin in your pocket. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. We got a final segment left here of a Monday, just kidding, Tuesday Locked On Vols. Don't forget Josh Ward Wednesday coming up tomorrow as we continue to break down Tennessee and Kentucky before the Saturday 7 o'clock kick on, what is it, ESPN2? Yeah, I think it's ESPN2, so looking forward to that. This is Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. Thanks so much, and I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in Gainesville. Boy, it is not fun times down there with Florida and Dan Mullen right now. And again, Tennessee fans are no stranger to, you know, some strange stuff going on in press conferences, some weird comments, some weird quotes. Your team is losing. I mean, you know, we get all that, right? You know, we understand that. We've lived that too many times in the last, you know, 10, 15 years or so. But I want to bring some of these to your attention just because I feel like it's too interesting not to talk about. We're going to be talking about it on the show this morning on the starting lineup if you guys want to dial in as well. Of course, Florida took on Georgia this past weekend. Georgia handled them easily. I think the final score was 34 to 34-7. After the game, Kirby Smart, head coach of Florida, had this to say. If you don't recruit, there's no coach out there that can out-coach recruiting. I don't care who you are. The best coach to ever play the game better be good recruiter, because no coaching is going to out-coach players. Anybody will tell you that our defense is good because we have good players. Number one, that was a direct shot at Dan Mullen, because Dan Mullen is a hell of a coach. You might not like Florida, but you can't dispute Dan Mullen is a good, good coach. But Florida has not out-recruited Georgia whatsoever since Dan Mullen has been there. Florida has not out-recruited Alabama. Florida has, you know, not, it's fallen behind a couple pegs in the SEC. Now, granted, you can be, you know, eighth in the SEC and recruiting one recruiting class and be, you know, 11th in the nation. That's just how good the SEC is, right? And so I took that as a shot straight at Dan Mullen. Say, like, hey, buddy, you're a good coach, but until you get on my level in terms of recruiting, you ain't going to do anything, right? So that was on Saturday. All right, some context here. You've got Florida, who is ranked, I want to say 23rd in terms of, I'm pulling my notes here from ESPN, so I don't know where they are in Rivals or 24/7, but in terms of the 2022 recruiting rankings per ESPN, Georgia is number 23. That's sixth in the SEC, well behind Georgia, which is number one. Georgia's been number one pretty much the entire time Kirby Smart has been there, right? So you've got a couple of highly touted prospects who have decommitted from that class. You're ranked 23rd in the class in terms of 2022 right now. And so you had Kirby Smart saying that post-game after this the whooping on Florida. And so Monday's media availability, the question was asked, and I heard the audio. I didn't pull it for this podcast. I do apologize. But the question was fine. I know a lot of people hate us in the media because we try to set people up. We ask leading questions, but the question was fine. There was nothing wrong about it. It was about recruiting. You know, how are things going in recruiting? Yada, yada. What's your take on recruiting right now? This is what Dan Mullen had to say. We're in season now. We'll do recruiting after the season. When it gets to recruiting time, we can talk about recruiting. All right. First and foremost, I know what Dan Mullen is saying. He is not saying we're not recruiting, okay? They're obviously recruiting every single day. If you're not recruiting every single day in the SEC, you are well behind. And Dan Mullen knows that, right? But he says, we're in season now. We'll do recruiting after the season, okay? I know here, all of us here on Locked On Vols, we're smart. We understand what he means. But, you know, Joe or Terry or Sheila or whoever on Twitter is going to see that and say, do you see what Dan Mullen said? What an idiot. He's not recruiting right now. No wonder Florida sucks. No wonder Florida's 4-4 with losses, you know, lopsided-wise in the SEC. No, Dan Mullen's stupid. I mean, you put your foot in your mouth, Dan. You put your foot in your mouth completely, okay? Why on earth would you say, we'll do recruiting after the season? He ends strong by saying, when it gets to recruiting time, we can talk about recruiting. Okay, well, Danny boy, I know what you mean, but you can't say we'll do recruiting after the season and then follow it up with, when it gets to recruiting time, it is always recruiting time. Even when you can't talk face-to-face, even when you can't call prospects, you are still working. You are still lining things up for the classes of 23s, the 24s, the 25s, lining up these unofficial visitors, lining up these junior days in February coming up, getting everything ready for you to hit the trail at the end of the regular season to go out and to do your last round for the class of 2022, trying to sway guys to get into your signing class. You are always doing something recruiting. If you're not, you suck, and you're not going to win in the SEC. Dan Mullen gets it, but his comments are taken out of context here. And I'm not going to follow the people who are taking them out of context. I mean, Dan Mullen, you're a head coach in the SEC, dude. Like, how hard is it to say, yeah, recruiting is an everyday job in the SEC, we're doing the best we can, and move on? That's all you had to do. So if the comment wasn't enough, again, I'm going to read the quote again, then we'll move on. Dan Mullen went ask about recruiting. We're in season now. We'll do recruiting after the season. When it gets to recruiting time, we can talk about recruiting. Boy, what a bad thing to say, okay? We'll move on. Following Dan Mullen's press conference, Florida canceled all the remaining availability for the week. This according to an article I'm reading at ESPN.com. I know they canceled it for today at least because I follow a lot of Florida beat writers and saying, hey, they just canceled the rest of media availability. There were supposed to be a couple players that met with the media and all that. Apparently, the athletic communications department that deals with all that down at Florida said, hey, we're on a tight schedule. First of all, I have the utmost respect for everybody that works in athletic communications. I did it for 2 years at Carson Newman. Small scale, I get it. But it is a tough job, and you don't make a lot of money. Well, you make a lot more money than I did when you're working at an SEC school. But what Bill Martin does, what Sean Burroughs does, what all those guys do at Tennessee, they are fantastic, and they are great. They have been a godsend working with the media, so let me just say that. But if the excuse was to those beat reporters who took time out of their day to go cover the program and are on deadlines and have stories to write, hey, we're on a tight schedule, we're going to have to cancel the rest today. What Bush League? No, it is carved out every single week. You have media availabilities from this time to this time. At Tennessee, every Monday morning, or every Monday, I guess, afternoon at 12:15, we talk to Josh Heupel, then we get two players afterwards. Every Tuesday, we talk to two assistant coaches, and we get players after. Wednesday, Josh Heupel talks in the SEC teleconference at 11:50 Eastern Time, and on Vol calls at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. On Thursday, Josh Heupel talks at 11:20 a.m. in the morning, and then that is all the media availabilities until after the game. That is, I mean, I recited that because I've done it for 9 straight weeks this season, okay? It is instilled in my mind. I am a beat reporter. I go there every week, and I follow that schedule. So if I'm on that Florida beat and they come out and say, hey, sorry, we're on a tight schedule, we're going to have to cancel the rest of the day. No, that is Bush League. So obviously Mullen got perplexed, he got confused, he got defensive, and he told him to cancel it all. It is weird right now down in Gainesville. It is super, super weird. Do I think Mullen should be fired? Absolutely not. I think Mullen's a good coach. I do. Do I think he's struggling? Do I think he's lost some games this year he shouldn't have lost? Yeah, he should have beat LSU. You should have. There's no reason for a guy from LSU to run and tally the single season rushing record against you. No reason for it, okay? I think a lot of your struggles are, well, you lost the number 4 overall pick in Kyle Pitts. You lost your best quarterback in quite some time, probably since Tim Tebow and Kyle Trask, and you lost a first-round wide receiver and a couple other offensive weapons. That's probably why you're struggling a little bit this year. You lost a lot. It's college athletics, right? They come and they go. You cycle through. You got to recruit. So things are getting weird in Gainesville, and that is nothing new to us here in Knoxville, because we have seen that with 3 coaches. We have heard the comments. We have heard the 5-star quotes. We have heard all that in years past. So it's a little weird. Do I expect Dan Mullen to get fired? No, I do not. But man, he could have handled Monday so much differently. And that athletic department canceling, bowing down to what I'm sure Dan Mullen put them up to do, that's Bush. That is Bush League. So, Tennessee fans, I'm sure you are excited that Florida right now is sitting at a 4-4 record overall. I know the loss earlier in the season does hurt, but Florida not having the season I thought it could, despite all those departures, and certainly underachieving compared to where I thought they would still be this year. So we're here talking Tennessee against Kentucky. I just wanted to get that in there. I don't think you guys would have minded on that, so that's why I went ahead and threw it in there. We'll get back to Tennessee and Kentucky tomorrow. Josh Ward, Ward Wednesday, coming up on a program tomorrow for Wednesday. And guys, thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Locked On SEC, make it your second listen right now. Chris Gordy, Sports 790, Locked On SEC does a fantastic job. Give him a listen. Make that your second listen of the morning. All right, guys. I'm Eric Hahn here on Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.